our opening scripture and communion. I've given you the scripture, and Aaron, I put it up there for you. I know it's the whole chapter. And yet it is so profoundly significant. And I brought it in the New Living Translation. And you, whatever you're looking at, whatever you brought in your Bibles. Now keep in remembrance the background of this. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus taught them that this blood was the blood of the new covenant, because the new covenant didn't happen until after he was raised from the dead. And then he took his blood and applied it on the mercy seat in heaven, and there would never be another sacrifice. There would never be. Jesus gave his life, one offering for all time. But this is the prayer that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the background for this prayer that he prayed. And I'd like you to listen very carefully, because each one of you are included in this prayer, and that's why it's so important. After saying all these things, this is what was at the end of Jesus with his disciples that night. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone, and he gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." You see, Jesus considered it. This was the work of the Father that was required of the Son. "Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed on to them the message you gave to me. They accepted it, and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. And my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. And now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me, the name of Jesus. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold." And that was Judas that he was talking about. And Jesus knew at the table that night that it was going to be Judas who would betray him. But now we continue on. "Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world." Now, these are his disciples first that he's praying. "And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so that they can be made holy by your truth. I'm not only praying for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. It gets handed down generation to generation to generation. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Communion, if you took that word apart, it means to come in union with, to be one with, to be in agreement with, to be in them. In Christ, and Christ in us. And so it's a feast of love, if you will, from the Father to you. And you're included in that prayer because we got saved generations upon generations upon generations later in time because we believed someone shared the gospel with us. And going back through the generations in that prayer is still relevant. And it's relevant to communion today because Jesus said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Didn't he say that? Yes, he did. And so that's why we do it. Because it's the one time, it's an open testimony that we're one in him and he in us and that we're one with each other because by the Spirit, he's made us all one body. And we've talked a lot about body ministry and how God has designed the body of Christ to function. So it's not the typical 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses that you may be familiar with, but it's powerful to know that Jesus prayed for this to continue to happen generation after generation after generation, and we've been faithful to do that, and may we always continue to be. And you don't have to just wait and do it once a month. You can do it every day. But don't let it just become a religious ritual. It's a real meaningful, life-giving, life-reminding life of Christ within each one of us. And we're all one in him. So when I bring it around, and perhaps I got a couple helpers here, or at least one I know for sure, when you see this bread, and Jesus said that this bread was his body, which was broken for you. And I looked a little deeper into that word broken and a deeper understanding is not only were muscles and ligaments broken in his body from the beating he endured on the cross. He survived that. But the broken was that prayer, the anguish before the Father that he prayed because he knew what was coming. And yet, Hebrews chapter 4 talks about Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. And he said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. So all of this stuff is connected this morning. And so, when this bread comes to you, he said to do it in remembrance of him. And whether you have wheat bread, white bread, crackers, whatever, it's not so much what we use. It's what it represents, and it's what we remember him by. It's something tangible, because everything in our walk is by faith. A lot of the things is no logical, reasonable, intellectual, intelligentsia, I could name a lot of big words, they can't receive it because they're trying to figure everything out, but we live by faith. if God said that, I'm going to receive it by faith. And as it comes to you, let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you. And Jesus himself said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in your midst. And Father, I thank you that indeed you are here in our midst. You're here by your Spirit, not only in us, but we're surrounded by your presence. And you never leave. You're always with us. And Father, as we receive this bread, may we always remember that this is really something tangible that we can identify with. That as you gave your body as a sacrifice on the altar, all of our sins generations ago, and that offering is still good today. And the writer of Hebrews said it will be for all eternity. It's already been done. And all he asks is that we would remember him when we do this. In Jesus' name, amen. I couldn't remember him before I was saved because I didn't know him. I didn't know really anything about him. But I remember him now to the very minute. And so you may have a time that was really precious when you had revelation of who he is as well. And this is a wonderful reminder that you can go back to that time when you released your faith in the work of the cross that he did for you. And I know some of you may have some interesting testimonies about that from time to time. And I hope you'll be bold and share them sometime. It means life, healing, wholeness, wellness to every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body, that Jesus made full provision for the quality of life that we would live until we don't. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you because your body was given out of love, of pure love, and we receive it in the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, John was interesting as a disciple. He had as you read the Gospels, John would always refer to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. Like the other 11 that, well, you know, you guys are, you're okay, but he really loved me. And he made it known. He couldn't stop writing that. You read the Gospel of John again, and you look for those words. When John would refer himself in his own words, the one whom Jesus loved, because he had such a revelation and an understanding of the Father's love. And I pray that we would have that. I desire that more and more and more, because some of us weren't so blessed with a Father that loved us. But we have Jesus, and we have God as our Father now, and he loved us that much that's what he was willing to give for each of us. So it's a time of real appreciation, if you will. But I would like that. I would like to have what John had. I don't know about you guys, but because it helps keep me on track when I can, because it's so easy to make a wrong judgment about somebody or a critical spirit or find reasons not to love people or to find reasons to not share the love of the Lord with them. And, you know, we can logically, well, maybe somebody else, Lord, we pray that you'll send somebody, but you never pray, Lord, send me. You know, but it's that love in us that he's put there. You can't escape it. It's not ever going to go anywhere. It's inside of you. So you might as well just receive it and walk in it. It's a great thing. And when I think of the countless animals that were offered on the altar in the tabernacle, in the temple. One lamb, one male lamb, was good for a family. I believe I read was seven. Is that correct, Barbara? 7 to 10 people in one family for one lamb?
I think that's the ballpark.
Yeah. So, but all the sacrifices that were not going on continuously. And the book of Hebrews gives you a wonderful detail from chapters 8, 9, and 10 about the blood and the sacrifices. And it so makes you just so embrace what he did for us. He was the one. And there'll never be another offering ever for all eternity. This is it. And did he not say that his blood was the blood of the new covenant? But it didn't happen until he was resurrected. But he gave himself in faith. He sowed himself as a seed, as a corn of wheat. In a parable he did, except a corn of wheat be planted, die and be planted, it abides alone. But he was referring to himself. But the blood he shed, and this represents his blood, it isn't his blood, but by faith it is to us. It's what he gave. It's what he left us in remembrance. So receive it with the passion and the joy, because he said, for the joy that was set before him. And he knew in all of that agony that was coming, there was joy. I can't even comprehend knowing if I knew that was coming to me, I don't know if I'd be prancing and dancing around in joy about it. But you were his joy. All the ones he prayed for in that prayer.
Yeah.
You in there.
Yeah.
Oh, precious. Well, go ahead. And Father, we just thank you so much for... sometimes I wonder if Thanksgiving is enough, but sometimes it's all we can say. Because it's true. And most of us, if maybe none of us, knows anyone in our lifetime that would be willing to lay their life down for us. We're willing in the military. We take an oath to defend our Constitution, to defend our flag. We go with a willingness if we lose our life in battle. We've done it for our nation. We've done it for our family. But it's not for the whole world like Jesus did. And for the specific individual, whoever believes will receive. And Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have chosen to forget every sin that we ever committed, everything that we've done, because you already knew from before the foundation of the world. And yet, your grace and your blood made full provision for that, and we didn't shock you. We just find ourselves in appreciation and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Yes.
Can you sing a song?
Can you?
Can I leave a song?
Oh, yes, please.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood.